Morning. It's good to see you all there. And yes, indeed, I would like to share this wonderful prayer. Although it has to be said, it wasn't in the most fantastic of circumstances, was it? If we know the background to this, Nathan the prophet came to David and told him, you know what? God knows what you've done. He knows that you've taken Bathsheba, who was somebody else's wife, and not only that, you've dispensed with her husband. It was not one of his best moments, to say the least. Prayer, it's personal. You know, it is personal. It's between God and us. And in that respect, it's incredibly special. But it's actually no point in us being anything but totally honest. You know, God kind of knows what's going on, doesn't he? And if we don't just, you know, if we're not just totally honest with him, then, you know, it's not going to work, because God is seeking a relationship with each of us. There's no point us making excuses for ourselves when it comes to seeking God's forgiveness. That's not what it's about. In fact, a long, long time ago, it was a slightly dampening experience for me. You may have heard this story if you've been at this church a very long time, in which case, apologies. But a very long time ago, the guy that was here, who was 38 with his two little children and his wife last week, was actually probably five or even maybe slightly less. And he had a bit of asthma. One night, it was keeping him awake. Now, of course, Jenny, his mum, was very sympathetic. Of course. She was patient. Of course. What was I? Yeah, none of those things. So eventually, I got totally fed up with this little boy who just wouldn't go to sleep just because he had a bit of asthma. It's just ridiculous. So I went upstairs and gave him a good telling off. Oh, he was very upset. He didn't like him being told off by his daddy for not going to sleep when he didn't feel very well. So he cried. And of course, what happened? Yeah, I was right, wasn't he? He went to sleep. Yeah. So, anyway, the next morning, I'm cycling to work on this beautiful morning, hardly cloud in the sky. I'm on my bicycle, heading down into Manchester from Mossley and down. Yeah. And I'm saying to the Lord, well, you know, Lord, I know I was a bit hard on him. Sorry about that, you know. But, you know, well, hey, it did work, you know. Suddenly, out of nowhere, at that very instant, I was hit with this very cold, very short, sharp shower of rain that just absolutely soaked me. It was just like, woof. It was like, that must have been coming down for the last 5 minutes to just where I was going to be. He knew I was going to say that, didn't he, that God? And I'm like, right. Okay, Lord, that was definitely aimed completely at me. So I'll take this as a little lesson. Yeah, there's no point justifying myself before you. If it was wrong, it was wrong. The fact that it worked had nothing to do with it. Fortunately for David, he doesn't mess about. He doesn't say, I didn't do it. It's not my fault. Well, I'm the king anyway. Which, like most kings would do, you've got to admit. David doesn't bring any excuses in this prayer for forgiveness. He just lays it on the line. He says, I've done wrong. I admit it. And I think, to me, the wonderful thing about this prayer, one of the wonderful things, in a way, this can create a really good motto for us. Always agree with God. Agree that the things that we get wrong, that we do wrong, agree that sin is sin. Name it. Face it. Don't wriggle out. Don't give excuses. Say that, well, at least it wasn't as bad as what some people do. Because really, that's never the point. Sin is sin. And sin is pervasive, I feel. You know, I suspect that there's nothing that I do that doesn't have a tiny scrap of self-interest embedded within it. I think that it's impossible for me to do anything that doesn't have a little element of sin, a little bit of building myself up, making myself look a bit better, getting something for me. And all those things are sin. It's pervasive. So I'm a sinner who is constantly being forgiven. It's an amazing fact. I live within the context of God's mercy, his compassion, his gift of cleansing from that sin that touches every element of my life. That's where I live. And I agree with God that his verdict is just. When he looks at me, his verdict is just. I know that from the very earliest days I was a sinner. Yet he desired my faithfulness, and I feel that he nurtured me from birth to bring me to faith in Christ. This psalm is the most fantastic prayer, it seems to me. It's just full of self-knowledge, full of the recognition that without the presence of God in life, we're adrift in a place of hopelessness. A psalm writer is correct to be fearful that if he loses God, he is nothing. Because I feel that too, that without God, I am nothing. I can easily say, well, Lord, this is the way you made me. You know, this is how I come. It's to be fair to say, I do say that sort of thing from time to time. Yeah, because that's how you feel, isn't it? But actually, it's not the point. It's making excuses. How we are is not how we're intended to be. God has gone to a huge amount of trouble. He's gone to a horrible death on the cross. He has taken the weight of sin and death and hell upon himself so that I don't have to stay like this. I can be changed. I am being changed. We all are being changed. Changing us from the fallenness that is us. But we need to agree with God that our sin is sin. To seek forgiveness from him in prayer. To do that personal thing face to face. And to ask him to turn things around in our lives, because we haven't got the strength to do it ourselves. Well, I certainly haven't. And unfortunately, this does seem to take a lot of time. I sometimes get a bit fed up with him. You know, I say, Lord, couldn't you have changed me in a slightly different order? Because I can see that in some things, I've really, you know, there's a massive change. Fantastic. But there's some things that are really rubbish about me, and I wish you'd done them first. Couldn't you have just had a slightly different priority? Of course, when I pray like that, that's me being honest with God. It's also me being sinful with God, challenging him. But you know what? I think he wants my honesty more than anything else. So I'll stick with being honest with him and disagreeing with him. It takes time. Sometimes it feels painfully slow. I bet we all feel a bit like that. But I must never give up. I must never think, well, you know, I can't sort this out, so I'll just pretend that it's not sin. How about that? Yeah, that would be a nice easy way out, wouldn't it? No. That is not a good way of doing it, I can assure you. And David did not. In this psalm, he did not do that. So I will look at myself. I'll look myself in the eyes and I'll say to myself, Colin, you were wrong again. God, forgive me and enable me through that great recreative process to change the things in my life that need to be changed. David says in verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. I like that. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, a new and steadfast spirit within me. So God's grace relies upon our acceptance. And I think in that acceptance, what we find is release. As we accept that we can be forgiven, we find release. So let's all remember to pray for forgiveness. And some of that forgiveness needs to be just being forgiven for the sort of people we are. You know? I think there's something tremendously freeing in that. Even if we only see tiny changes, it's freeing. And that's what God wants for us. Just one little word of warning. Let's remember not to impose this on other people. You know, this is a thing between me and God, and it's between you and God. But if I look at somebody else's life and I judge them, well, hey, you know, it's not a good place to go. Don't think we're called to that. There's only one judge, and that is God. He's the only one with the authority to do it. From verse 11, the tone of this psalm changes. Yeah, and if you're expecting Tigger, he's just about to coming out of the woodwork now, because the psalm just has this amazing next bit. Woohoo! You might say. Because, well, I certainly would. Because he leaves his sin behind, and suddenly he's looking forward with expectation. I keep catching sight of Gordon with that crown on. It's absolutely fantastic, Gordon. I love it. And that's it. Because suddenly we have that crown. The forgiveness is there. We are the children of the living God. We are princes and princesses of the King. Because that forgiveness is powering through into our lives to give us new life. And so we find ourselves being restored into fellowship with God, just like David, with his friend Yahweh. This is a great model for us. What is going to happen now that I'm back in the arms, those strong arms of God that we were singing about a minute ago, in his presence, empowered by him? David says, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." To me, that is such a vital part of my Christian life, that absolute delight that I am saved, that all these things can be renewed in my life. I can leave some of this nasty stuff behind. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit, a spirit that just wants to serve, that wants to be, that wants to do good. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You know, I feel like this is another part of my motto. The presence of his Spirit, the joy of his salvation. I pray regularly, fill me with your Spirit every day. This is such a mighty prayer, life-changing. For we're taken from a pitiable place of fallen sinners to the wonderful, inspirational place in his presence. His Spirit, our joy. That is why I feel that sometimes I just have to worship God with everything. You know, like, I'm sorry about that, folks. Sometimes you probably notice that, you know, I weep, I laugh, I throw my arms around. I am just completely caught up, abandoned in worship. And that's why it is for me. It's not that way for everybody. I don't expect it to be that way for everybody. But for me, I just have to stand in his presence and smile or cry. That's how it is for me. That's how this psalm works out in practice for me. Psalm doesn't end there, does it? 13. Verse 13, there's a response. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will return to you. Sinners will turn back to you. And I pray regularly, may I take the opportunities. That's what I want to be able to do. And I don't think I can do that unless God is at work in me. As forgiveness washes through our lives, then we're more likely to be in tune with God. in tune enough to speak out our faith story. On Tuesday, when I'm back at work, one of the guys there will probably ask me, what do you do at the weekend? And I'll probably say to him, yeah, it was a great weekend. I did this and that. And I was preaching on my favorite psalm on Sunday morning. And he may say to me, so what was that about? And then I will tell him. I hope that I will tell him with grace as God inspires me, and not as Colin, because I'm not so good at it if it's Colin. But God enables us to share our faith all the more when he's been at work in our lives. For I'm delivered from guilt by the Savior, and then I can sing and speak of his righteousness and declare his praise. And that's what the psalmist says, that is what he will do because God has given him forgiveness. So let's be real with God. Let's not hide from him all the things that are on our hearts, because it's not a very worthwhile activity. I will disagree with God in prayer. I will tell him what I think. I will say to him, it didn't seem to me a good idea to let Jenny's sister die. And, okay, so in that prayer in itself has an element of sin in it. I know that. But that's what I think. And if I don't share that with this friend who is God, who can I share it with? At times, I have been really angry with God in prayer. And I'm not saying that everybody should be like this, but I want to be honest with him. You maybe can be honest without being angry. I hope and pray you can. But at times, that's honest. And sometimes in those moments, that's when I find I have more answers and maybe a bit more peace. God has broad shoulders. He is not hurt by us. We still have to go back and apologize for the way we are. But I think that it is good to be honest about what we think and feel when we stand in prayer before the living God. There's a good precedent for that. You read a few of the Psalms, that some of those psalmists were fairly fed up with God at times. And I think that's fair. Prayer is personal. And if I don't make it personal and tell it like it seems to me, then I'm not treating God like the good shepherd, as the friend that he wants to be. For God is the almighty creator of all things, and I stand in absolute awe of him. And yet at the same time, I can sense that I'm surrounded by his love, enfolded in his arms, upheld in my grief, supported in my inadequacy, and in every way forgiven despite what I'm like. And that's only because of his unfailing love. A love that can never run out. A love that we can never gain more of, because he gives it to the full. His absolute compassion for each one of us. And then, having experienced that forgiveness because of his love, we can continue to live in the joy of his salvation. I'm going to ask the band to come back. Just want to give us a moment of time just to consider, to pray, to think of the things, perhaps more than anything else, I would challenge you to think of, the things that you say That's the way I am. This is how I come. And to ask yourself, do I need forgiven for being the way I am? And to be released from that and find healing in that forgiveness. I'm not saying that tomorrow you'll be completely different. You'll have to come back and do it again. But step by step, we will change. Let us pray together. Father God, we pray that you would touch each one of us with a sense of our own self-awareness, that we would know the sin in our lives that stops us from being healed, renewed, and made new by you. Lord, forgive us, we pray. Enable us to find ourselves at the foot of the cross, shedding the burdens of who we are and placing them before you. Come, Lord Jesus, forgive us, that your Holy Spirit may be renewed within us and that we may live in the joy of your salvation. And then, through that joy, reach out in your name to the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.